we kind of flop back and forth, you know, on the outside, you know. Some days we're smiling, some days we're not. Silly us, you know. Isn't that true? You know, you, because things just come up. Things come up, and all of a sudden it's, oh my gosh, Lydia's in trouble, you know. And we just kind of, all of a sudden, the terrorizing of the devil just really gets your attention, doesn't it? Just for a moment, just kind of like, oh, what just happened? It's like when you're fixing to, when you're riding along in the car and all of a sudden somebody stops in front of you, you got to stop real fast, and all of a sudden it just looks like everything's come to a close, right? That was it. But you get stopped, and your heart stops, doesn't stop, but I mean it quits beating so fast, and you know everything's okay. You know everything is okay. You know, just because something happens in your world doesn't mean God fell off the throne. He did not. He's having a wonderful time. He loves you. He's watching out for you. He's taking care of you. All of your kids are going to be okay. Found out today that, you know, I hadn't heard anything about Trey Johnson in a long, long time. And, you know, once in a while his sister would come in town, you know, and she'd, how's Trey? Oh, he's fine. Well, I found out today Trey's got 8 kids. 8 kids? You know? When did all that happen? You know, there's so many things that happen that you don't know about, right? And you know, so many things that happen that not even aware of, but God's aware of them. You know, God's aware of everything that happens to you. He's around when you can't even know what your kids are doing. You don't even know what your kids are doing. God's right there. He knows exactly where they are. He knows exactly what they're doing. And He knows exactly how to redeem them. Amen? All we do is pray. We just pray. You can't know everything. You can't find out everything. But what you do is you pray. You pray all the time. The Bible says pray without ceasing. We'll talk about that in a minute. So you're praying without ceasing. Why? Because you always want God on top of everything. Because when you're on top of everything, you're really not. Amen. Isn't that true? I mean, here's your granddaughter in Wisconsin. What can you do? What can you do? I can pray. I can touch the throne of God. I can touch heaven. I can speak to God, and God will speak to me. Amen? You know, when things are not going quite the way you want them to, you just rejoice. You just rejoice. You don't complain. You just rejoice. God, you're so good. Yeah, everything is going my way. Somebody else would come along and say, they heard you say that. And they'd go, well, what are you, nuts? Everything not going your way. You everything looks like it's going south. Everything looks like topsy is turvy. Yeah, everything is not going well for you. You know, they'll tell you that. Things are not going well for you. No, everything you don't see with the eye of God. Everything is going my way. Amen. Can you say that? Everything is going my way. I'm afraid to say that. Then everything might turn upside down. No, you say that. Everything is going my way. Amen. Somebody says, you know, how you doing? Perfect. Yeah. How can you say that? Because I'm not looking. I'm not looking. I'm not checking. I'm not taking my temperature. I'm not taking my pulse. I'm not saying don't take your temperature. I'm not saying don't take your pulse. But I don't receive the bad report of it. Even if there's a bad report coming, I don't receive that. Whose report? Isaiah says, whose report will you believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. The report of the Lord is, everything's going my way. I'm in good shape. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's look over in Ephesians chapter 6. I think we might kind of almost come to a close on that thing, on Ephesians today. Amen. Unless we get off into something else. You know, that can happen. You know, when you're preaching, that can happen. Some things can just go, you can take a left turn and, you know, it just never get to the end. Y'all have seen that happen before. Amen. Amen. Well, last time we were here today, we talked about Father's Day. Last time I was with you. Talking about Father's Day, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about that. You know, talks about children obeying your parents. Well, there's a father in there. That it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And talks to fathers, says, don't provoke your children to wrath, and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. All right? So we talked about that. Talked about how fathers are the most important part. You know, God is our father. Jesus came and Matthew started talking about how God was their father. And people didn't know that. They knew God was God. G-O-D. He was God, and He was big, and He was watching out and making sure that if you didn't do right, He's going to get you. But God is your father. he's your padre. And it's like Esther, my youngest, she's 23, she comes in the door, bursts in, padre! You know, we're not Catholic, you know, so. But she's going to say, padre! You know, say, daddy. I mean, she's my daddy, father, you know. She's just coming in, just excited to see me for some silly reason. And so she's just coming in. So that's how we come in. We come into the presence of God. Padre, Father, Lord, Lord, thank you that you love us. Because God is not mad at you. He is not mad. He is so happy with you. He is just happy that you're alive. He's happy that you happened upon this church today. He's happy that you came into the place, into sit in this place and hear his word today. You know, I'm happy when my children want to come and hear what I have to say. You know, and God your Father is happy when you come to hear what he has to say, because he knows that everything he has to say is for your blessing and your good and your benefit. It's going to take care of you. Everything he says is a blessing to you. All the words out of his mouth are a blessing to me. You know, he wants me to repeat his word. He's made the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. So your Father in heaven is like your Father on earth, just only better, because he takes care of you. Okay, now we got through that last time we were together. So I want you to remember it and not forget that God is your Father and he loves you. Amen? Now, verse 5 goes on to talk about more relationships. Here, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Goes on to talk about more relationships. And another one, this is one that kind of shows up for most people most of their life, is servants and masters, or in our day it's probably more like employees and employers and employees. It's people you work with every single day. People you see, and you have a line of authority. There's people you work for, and there's people that work for you. This is, by and large, this is, now whether it's directly for you or people you pay, or maybe it's somebody that you're doing a job for. Maybe you're an independent contractor and you're working for somebody, or they're working, or you have subs working for you. They're not really your employee, but you affect them in a great measure by your working relationship. Amen. All right? So God's concerned about our working relationships, our daily relationships. You have relationships before you leave out the door in the morning, and then after you get home at night with your wife and your kids and your husband and, you know, all of those folks that you meet, that you live with and relate to. But this is the relationship that you have with the people that you could perhaps share the gospel with. Amen? So you can cut yourself off from people real easily by just being obnoxious. Amen? You ever seen that? Have you ever been obnoxious before? Yes. I mean, if you ever had a job, you know, and somebody said something you didn't like, somebody said something you weren't in, you just didn't want to have anything to do with that. You know, it's none of your business what I'm doing or how I'm doing it, or, you know, and you're working with a guy and he gave you a blueprint and you want to do it your own way. No, he wants you to do it his way, because he's also the one who's paying you. So if he's paying you, he gets to decide how you're doing that. Amen. If you want to help him, if you want to have a good attitude about how to maybe adjust how things are done, well, then you can submit something. But when it doesn't go your way, you don't get to just get up and get mad and, you know, punch the guy in the face. That's just not what happens. You know, it's just not a good way to work it out, is it? It's not, is it? So what you want to do is you want to seek God. You want to have a relationship, first of all, with God before you ever leave to go to the office, before you ever leave to go to the job. You know, Luke's an electrician. My son Luke, his second son, he's an electrician. You know, so there's certain things that he's got to follow, certain things he's got to do. Otherwise, he'll be dead. You know, he's got to do certain things. You know, he's got to be careful with electricity. It's commercial electricity. You know, it's not just a bzzz, you know, in the house with a little circuit breaker, you know. I mean, this is the big, you know, three-leg, Tony, you know that. His big, you know, big electric panels that'll hurt you, you know, if you're not careful with it. And so what you want to do is you want to respect that thing. Well, here, you want to respect the people that God's put in front of you. Doesn't matter what they do. Doesn't matter how you work together with them. God tells you to honor them. God tells you to love them and to bless them. Amen? This is how you live, see, because it's how you preach the gospel to somebody, is you love them. And whatever the arrangement is that you follow that arrangement. And if you have a complaint, you go to God. And you let God work out that arrangement. See, we have that, you know, just with people we deal with, even with neighbors. You know, we have people, neighbors that, you know, they just don't agree with us, and you have to live next to them. So what you want to do is you seek God. You go talk to God about your neighbor. You go talk to God about your boss. You go talk to God about that employee. You don't just punish that person or just abuse that person. It's not up to you. That person is a human being. That person is a creation of God. If just because you employ them and pay them doesn't mean you get to beat up on them. They have a wife. They have children. They have to go home. They have to spend time with their kids. You know, you don't get to decide all these things. You have to treat them with honor, blessing, and respect. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says here, servants, or you could say that employees, or you know, or people you work, people who work for you, or people you work for somebody else, be obedient to them that are your masters or your employers, according to the flesh here in this world, and with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as to Christ. Wow. That, you know, you got to treat them like you'd treat Jesus. Well, if I was working for Jesus, everything'd be okay. No, Jesus might tell you to do something you weren't interested in doing. Has he ever done that before? Have you ever not done something Jesus told you to do? Well, there you have it. There's this scripture right here. You see, Jesus tells you to do something, you say, yeah, I don't want to do that. And then since you don't see Jesus anywhere nearby, it's kind of like the VP of, kind of like Trey, the VP of Walmart. Well, you may not see him every day, but he may hear about you. You know, if you didn't pull your weight, he may hear about it. You know, Jesus heard about it, you know, that you didn't hear quite, apparently you didn't quite hear what he said. He would give you the benefit of the doubt. You know, you didn't quite hear what I said. But Jesus is telling you to do something. Here's what he's telling you to do is obey those who have the rule over you. You know, we think about that as pastors, you know, usually. But no, this can be your employer, somebody you work for, somebody who's giving you money. They're giving you value for value, right? They're giving you, they're compensating you for your time, for the skill that you have in doing the thing that they need done. So those are the things. And then you arrange that by agreeing to take that job. If you agreed to take that job, do the job. If you didn't agree to take, if you don't agree with that job, then quit. And let that guy go. Let that guy out of that contract. Don't make him fire you. You just quit. Just leave. If you don't want to do the job, just go ahead and do something else. Well, I need that job. Well, I need that paycheck. No, what you need to do is obey God. Wow. No, what you need to do is obey God. Amen. Now, let's back up. I don't want anybody to go away here thinking that I said you have to do something to make God love you. God absolutely loves you. He's not holding anything against you. He's not holding out salvation from you. But what he's doing is telling you, here's how godliness works in this world. Here's how godliness works. Amen? You're not getting credit for this. You already got credit. All the credit you get is through Jesus. And if anything good happens, it's through Jesus, through the power of Jesus Christ operating and working on the inside of you. You just walk with God and He'll do great, great things on the inside of you. He'll minister to that boss. He'll minister to those people that you have a work relationship with. He will minister to you, minister to them, love them, bless them, take care of them, just because you show up. Just because you show up. Because you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Whatever it is you do, whether it's grandkids, whether it's sons and daughters, whether it's sons-in-law, daughters-in-law, whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's what he's saying right here. And again, all I'm saying is that here's how righteousness works in the world. You're loving your neighbor, not responding to the flesh. That's on the inside of you. Your first response is, what? Don't you do that. Nobody treats me. Sure, everybody treats you like that. You just ought to rejoice and just enjoy life. Amen? There's nothing that's different under the sun. Everybody's just treating everybody poorly. Except Christians who love Jesus. And we're loving people. We're loving people. Because they don't understand. People don't understand. They don't understand how to walk with joy, even though people are giving them a hard time. Right? People giving you a hard time, they gave Jesus a hard time even worse. They thought, look at what happened to that guy. I mean, they put him on a cross. Have they put you on a cross yet? Paul said you hadn't even shed blood yet. Complaining here. You know, you know, you haven't shed blood here. You just got your little feelings hurt. Well, stop it. Stop getting your feelings hurt. Amen? Say, I'll no longer get my feelings hurt. No, you didn't want to say that, did you? Praise the Lord. You like getting your feelings hurt. People like getting their feelings hurt. They do. That way you can get other people to feel sorry for them. Or you can feel sorry for yourself. I wish I could feel sorry for myself. Ian, isn't that right? You just want to feel sorry for yourself. It feels so good to feel sorry for yourself. I mean, just somehow. No, but you want to say, God, thank you that I love every neighbor. I love everybody. And here comes one thing. Here comes one that's not as good as another. And God's given me an opportunity to just send love to them. Maybe you don't have a chance to talk to them. Maybe they don't want to talk to you. They don't want to have anything to do with you. You just send the love of God to them. Father, I just love that sister in Jesus' name. I just love that neighbor. Lord, bless them today. Love them today. Give them what they need today. Give them what they need in the name of Jesus, not what I think. Amen. So he says, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of heart. You know what that means? Without hypocrisy. It'll talk about that in the next verse. But in singleness of heart, one mind. Don't have an ulterior motive. Something you're trying to do to them rather than for them. As you would to Jesus. Verse 6 even catches you. Verse 6 catches you. This is Ephesians 6:6. Not just... Wow. Didn't want to hear that, did we? Not with eye service as men pleasers. Not like that. But rather as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know, it's good. I always feel like it's good to slow down. You know, if you read a chapter in the Bible, how fast do you read it? Okay, got my Bible reading done for the day. You know, we feel we should speed read through the Bible. You know, it's real good if I were just read. I think we're better off reading one sentence at a time. We're better off reading one verse at a time, right? Because he says, we might miss this verse. He says, so he's telling you, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, just being people pleasers. Just enough to keep your job, just enough to look busy. And the reason I know this is because I've been there and I've done that. Anybody like me? Don't raise your hand. Not with eye service as men pleasers or women pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I'm doing the will of God. I believe I'll do the will of God today from the heart. Amen? This is so good. With good... keeps going. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. I mean, my goodness, how many ways can you say it? Right? How many ways can you say it? See? You know, got these few folks here. Well, you guys are going to change the world by treating people honorably and blessing them. You know, this is where Jesus changed the world. Paul and Jesus, the gospel, the good news, working out through you in the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, loving your neighbor, is an open door to preaching the gospel. And this is how you do it. Is you're loving somebody, you walking in their presence and with them, having opportunity to minister into their life. Amen. Isn't that powerful? You know, not because they disagree with you and have you know, and it's difficult, especially when you live with people. It's difficult when they disagree with you. on fundamental things. You know, there's so many times that people disagree with each other later in life, and they come along and on fundamental things you begin to you disagree with people. But still, they can be pleased to dwell with you, like the scripture says about husbands and wives in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It talks about how with husbands and wives you're ministering to them and to love them, and if they be pleased to dwell with you, stay with them. You know, people in the Corinthian church were asking Paul, well, should I, my husband or wife is not a believer, and they were divorcing each other just because they wanted out anyway. But Paul heard about it and said, no. If they're fine living with you, and it doesn't mean because you're being obstinate and a jerk about it, about your faith, is if they be pleased to dwell with you, stay with them. Stay there. Don't you? Well, okay, you're not Christian, I'm leaving. No, that's not Christian at all. Christian is stay with them, love them, bless them. In the middle of a tough situation, stay with them, love them, bless them. Amen. Your life is not your own, is it? You don't get to do everything you want to do because you're now bought with a price. Well, I thought with Jesus there's freedom. There is. There's freedom to love your neighbor. Well, you didn't have that before. You didn't have power to love your neighbor before. You do now. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that you have the power of God to love your neighbor, to love your boss, that dirty, rotten boss person. You know, you didn't like that person after. You know, but now you're going to love them. It's just the silliest thing. I never heard of it, heard of anything like that before. There must be a God. You know, one day you hated him, the next day, you know, thank you for that. Thank you for let me work this job. This is a wonderful job, and I thank God for it. You know. Do I understand that there are really horrible situations? Yes, I do. But do I understand that there is a huge God, a very big God with very big power, who is able to minister with you, through you, and for you? And it's not up to you. These commands are not up to you. What they are open doors to the gospel that are empowered in you by the living God. And see, that's one of the reasons that we can come up to the armor of God that we're going to talk about here in just a minute. You know, it says, children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children. These are the natural responses. Children, provoke their parents. Children, obey your parents. Well, they naturally don't. Fathers, don't provoke your children. You naturally do. Employees, be obedient. You're naturally not. Masters, don't treat your people poorly. Well, you naturally do. All of these things are things that are in nature. We are evil and wicked. Anybody ever see that? Do you ever see that turn up in you? You know, just, you know, all of a sudden you just find, look in the mirror and just wicked, just evil, nasty person. You know, and you still have it. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost people, some of the worst people ever, because they don't realize that it's God in you that's transforming you. And you believe that. You agree to that. Father, thank you that you're manifesting yourself in me, transforming me into your image. I am a lover. I am a peacemaker. The God of heaven is all on the inside of me to make this world a better place to spread the gospel. Not to make the world a better place. Well, God, you know, God's expecting us to make a wonderful world. No, God wants you to preach the gospel. He wants you to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Amen? The world is not going to become a better place. The world, we read in the book of Revelation, we read in the epistles, that the world is a nasty place. Because because the will of God is not done in the world. Because people are wicked and evil. There is evil and wicked in the world. But God has sent His Son into the world to bring life to people individually, one by one. And that's why you're here. That's why you're still here. You are a minister of the gospel. You're an ambassador. Amen? You're a minister of reconciliation, reconciling people to God. Your job, while you're here, is to reconcile people to God. Amen. Because you're reconciled to God. And you know how to bring people in. You do. It says, if anybody believes and confesses with their mouth the Lord Jesus, they shall be saved. Amen? That's it. It's not a hard, it may be a hard sell, but, you know, because people just don't believe it. They just believe, they believe what they see. So keep reading. So we read all that with goodwill, verse 7, Ephesians 6, verse 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing, here's more. And knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, whether he be a master or a slave. Whatever you do, as unto the Lord, you'll receive it back. There's a golden rule. Whatever you do, do unto others as you want them to do to you. I remember our brother Robert Mowery, he used to talk about the golden rule of this world. You know what that is, don't you? Do unto others before they do unto you. No. That's not what he said. He says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, whether they do it or not, that's up to God. That's up to them, and that's up to God. But what you're going to do is you're going to do unto others as you want them to, you would have them do to you. And you masters, you employers, you bosses, you guys who are in charge, glory to God. I'm in charge. Well, good. God bless you. To you will more be required. More will be required of them who are in charge. If you're a teacher, more will be required of you. You're going to give account. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have a big job. So you masters, you employees, you bosses, do the same, treat your employees and servants the same way. Forbearing, threatening. Don't be always on somebody's case. Knowing that your master is in heaven, neither is there any respect of persons with him. In other words, he doesn't distinguish bosses from workers. Everybody, he treats everybody the same. God treats everybody the same. He believes everybody ought to be treated the same. You shouldn't, just because you're a boss, doesn't mean you get to abuse somebody. Just stop abusing people. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, just because you got parents, and even parents, we're back to that. Don't provoke your children. Don't provoke your employees. Well, Pastor was hard on us today. Yeah, I like Pastor Jim. He says you don't have to do anything for Jesus to love you. No, it's all true. You're loved. That's what this is on the inside of you. I'm just telling you what power of God is living on the inside of you. This is the power of God living on the inside of you. To love your neighbor, to love your boss, to love your employees, to love your husband, to love your wife, to love your kids. You are the demonstration of the gospel to everybody you meet. You are the demonstration of Jesus Christ to everybody that you meet, because the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. We read that this morning. It said, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, not the battle of the saints. You know, you come to church, you want to punch your brother. The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. Anybody forgiving? You're forgiving sins? There are lots of sins out there. Did you forgive them all? Amen? You're forgiving sins today. Father, thank you that I'm a forgiver. I'm a forgiver of sins. People have sinned against me, but I forgive them today. So whatever came up to your mind when I said that, well, not that you said, not that one. No, you, that one especially. That one is the top of the list, is to forgive that one. Amen? You're forgiving that one. Let's just forgive them right now. Father, I just forgive. That's that name. I forgive in Jesus' name. They owe me nothing. They owe me nothing. Well, wait a minute, there's money involved. Well, maybe they have a debt to you. But emotionally, let it go. Get rid of it. Amen? Get rid of it. I'm not saying don't pursue a debt. What I'm saying is let go of it emotionally. Don't take it to bed with you. Amen? Forgiveness will kill you. Forgiveness will eat you up from the inside. Or meaning unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will eat you up from the inside. It will. It'll keep you from sleeping. It'll keep you from eating. Because your life is consumed with what somebody did to you. Imagine God was like that. You know what he did? He sent his only son and he killed him. Put him on the cross. Killed him for your sins. So that he could legally forgive your sins. And then he did it. He totally forgave you. You're totally forgiven. Aren't you happy today? Amen. Aren't you peaceful today? Amen. See, I want you to walk in joy. I want you to walk in peace. I want you to walk in rest. I don't want you to walk in struggle. Amen? I mean, there's a lot of things you could do. I mean, have grandkids in wheelchairs, you know? You know? And it wasn't because they just broke their leg. I mean, you know, it's kind of a long-term thing, you know? You know, had a son that was a mess for a long, long time. Well, he's getting married in October, praise the Lord, to a perfect person. You know what I mean? Just a wonderful young lady. All kinds of things. There have been all kinds of struggles, all kinds of things. You've had them, I've had them, it's okay. What you do is you learn to rejoice in everything. You learn to rejoice in everything. You say it. When the opportunity to not rejoice comes up, that's the devil. Eve came up to the tree and she said, "Oh, this is the tree I can't eat of," you know. But instead of rejoicing, she got a guy to agree with her. "Well, that's a good looking tree. I think you ought to eat it." Caused us a problem down the road, didn't it? So, you know, don't get somebody to agree with your complaint. It could cause a bigger problem down the road. Right? So what you want to do is just thank God. Thank God that you forgive, you know, that hurt or that perceived injustice. So many times it's perceived, isn't it? So many times you have an injustice. It's just something you didn't like. Something that got irritated under your skin. You say, "Father, I thank you that I just forgive that person right now." Maybe things didn't go right in your childhood. Maybe things didn't go right in your life. Maybe things didn't go right with your mom and your dad. My dad was an alcoholic for years and years and years. You know? And so I didn't have a relationship with my dad for years and years and years. Some people have a wonderful dad. You know, thank God for you. But I'm not complaining. I'm just letting you know that there was a problem there. But I chose, because of Jesus, to let that go. And then he came and lived with us, and we had a wonderful time for the last 5 years of his life. God is doing good things. We got to win him to the Lord. Got to bring him into the kingdom of heaven. So many things. If you get angry, if you get things bother you, take them to Jesus. Amen? Now, let's keep going. Now, how in the world does this flow into the armor of God? Well, it's part of the same thing, is that you put on the armor of God so all of these things don't affect you. All these things, all these wicked things, all these troubles, all these opportunities to complain and to get angry and to hate your neighbor, all of these things will come at you, just like the devil did in the garden. Those things will come at you and have a desire, because remember what Jesus said to Peter. He says, the devil has desired, Satan has desired to have you, to sift you as wheat, to grind you up and to make you powder. That's how the devil wants to take you. He wants to take you down. He wants to take you out of the war, out of the battle. He wants to be able to take out God's generals. Amen. He wants to take... Yes! Well, I'm not God's general. I'm just a foot soldier, if that. I'm just a water boy. Well, God needs water boys. Amen? I mean, if you didn't have water, your soldiers would dry up. So look here. Verse 10. Because it's continuing. It says, finally, brethren, finally, be strong in the Lord. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So all of these things He's suggested that you kind of lean into, which is not provoking your kids and not just being disobedient, because it covers everybody. It covers kids. It covers, you know, men and women. And it covers, you know, employers and employees. He covers all these and says, here's how you act toward those people. But then he says, finally, be strong in the Lord. So your strength is not to do it in yourself. Your strength is to do it because the living God is on the inside of you. He's the living God. He's not a dead God. He's a living God. He's on the inside of me to will and to do of His good pleasure, Philippians chapter 2 says. He is in you both to will and to do. He changes your willer and He changes your doer because He's in you. He's got the Holy Ghost in you. And finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Over in Zechariah chapter 6 and 7, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, the Scripture talks about moving a mountain. He says, not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This mountain shall become a flat plain by shouting grace to it. So we shout grace to that mountain. The mountain may be your boss. The mountain may be your spouse. The mountain may be your kids. Amen? Anybody ever had a mountain like that? Something that was immovable in your human ability and flesh. But it's not by might. It's not by your power. But it's by His Spirit. Saith the Lord. Saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of all the armies of heaven. It's not about all the armies. It's about His Spirit. It's about Him dwelling on the inside of you. By His grace. You shout grace to it. Just say it. Remember what they did over there in Jericho? Walk around the city. Walk around the city. Then shout! And the walls came down. In fact, the walls came down to a powder. The walls came down so flat that it says in the Scripture, they each man, you know, you'd think a wall would be like a bunch of bricks and they'd all fall down. Well, if you have a bunch of bricks fall down, that kind of makes a pile, doesn't it? Kind of makes a pile of bricks. And then you'd have to climb over. If the wall's 20 feet high, what are you going to have to do? If you're trying to get over them, you'd have to climb over a pile of bricks. No, he said this. He said every man went straight forward in front of him. Just like this aisle right here. There's nothing in it. That wall came so flat down that they went straight ahead. And how'd they do it? Shout! They did a shout. Just like this. Shouting grace. Shouting grace to it. Shouting grace to it. So, when you have a difficult period, a difficult time, you shout grace to it. You don't go and try to confront somebody in the flesh. But you come into the Spirit of God. You come in by the Holy Ghost. You come in. And if it may not happen the way you plan it. Okay, God, I'm not going to say this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this, and you're going to do that. And God said, well, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. It may not be quite your way. So what I want you to do is to rest in Me and to relax and to enjoy My presence. That's how you enjoy life. Amen? You enjoy life by walking in the presence of God and not letting all these other things grab a hold of you and ruin your thoughts and ruin your life. Rejoice in the Lord
always.
Oh my. That's a heavy one. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What does it say over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Okay, verse 6:11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. So finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes, the plots of the devil. Put on the whole armor. Well, what do I do when the schemes of the devil come up? Well, he just told you. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? The wiles, the schemes, the plans, the purposes of who? The devil. Wow, I didn't believe in the devil. Where is he? Right here. He talks about him right here. Paul's talking about him. He says, against the plans of the devil, the wiles of the devil. Because, listen, We wrestle not against flesh and blood. No, I do. I wrestle against my boss, my wife, my kids. No, what did the Word of God say? You have to read the Word of God slowly, carefully. Well, that's just the English version. Well, you go back and read the Greek version. It says the same thing. They translated it. And if well, it's not exactly right, well, it's close enough. It's close enough. It said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, what is the whole armor of God? But first of all, before we get to what is the armor of God, let's read what the armor of God helps us with. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, people, bodies, bad people, crummy people. We wrestle not against our political enemies, those who we don't like, those who we don't like their politics, those who we don't like their how they're running this country. Now, does it mean you don't wrestle against them in the political realm and the natural and vote and don't vote and you campaign against them? Yeah, you do all that. But don't take that as the battle. That's not the battle. The battle is here. The battle is in your heart. Because I don't hate those guys. I don't hate any of them. They're people that need Jesus. Amen. I just hate those people. They're so bad. You know, I just want to kill them all. You know, I mean, people get that way in politics. Republicans and Democrats, Libertarians, the whole nine yards. Even green people. Didn't know there was green people, did you? They're all ugly. They're all mean. You know, because they don't believe that they walk in love. They don't believe that, I don't believe I can walk in love toward that person. Well, you haven't heard the Word of God yet. You haven't heard the Word of God yet. Because if He is in you, He's in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's manifesting His love on the inside of you, even down at the Capitol. Even up in the Capitol. Down in Austin, up in Washington. We have a group that I work with, dear friend of ours, Bunny Pounds, who's got an organization called Christians Engaged. I help her with that some. It's just teaching people how to become involved in the political realm in the love of God. We make that particularly keen, is that you are working in this process, but you're working because you love Jesus. And you love your neighbor. And you love every politician, whether they're in your camp or not in your camp. And you're praying for them. And then we teach you how to get involved and make a phone call. But the point is that you don't let that disagreement become a cancer in your relationship and ability to talk to that person about Jesus. Or to let the Word of God begin to inform their politics. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. Says that listen to all the against references. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Say, I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's a good mumble. Yeah. I hope you don't forget that later. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. You remember when the devil came in, the serpent came into the garden? See, that's who you wrestle against. You wrestle against people who are plotting and planning against the good news, against the gospel of Jesus, against the love of God. That's who you're plotting against because the enemy wants to destroy God and God's people. Now, America was a great opportunity, you know. But America is not the church. America is not the church. You know, no political party, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, is not the church. The Church of Jesus Christ is the Church of Jesus Christ, born by His Holy Spirit and planted by the blood of Jesus. And we're here to demonstrate the love of God. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world. You remember in Daniel, you know, there was an angel that came to Daniel when he was praying. And he came to Daniel, he said, Michael the archangel, said, I was hindered from coming to you because the prince of Persia hindered me for 21 days. Well, who was the prince of Persia? Was that some guy in a robe and a sword? No, he was referring to a spiritual power in the air, the principalities and the powers of the air. The scripture tells us that the devil is the god of this world, the god of this world. When Adam sinned, he turned it over. So the devil became the god of this world, the head of this world, became the new CEO. So verse 13 tells us, take unto you the whole armor of God. Take to yourself. Take it to yourself. Put it on. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What's the evil day? Anybody know what the evil day? Every day. The evil day is every day. Evil day is the day that you're living in. Somebody says, oh, it's the day of the Lord. No. The day of the Lord is the day of the Lord. It's His day. That's the day that He returns. We're happy about that day. We like that day. We don't see that day coming. The day of the Lord. Now, some people are not going to like seeing the day of the Lord because they were hoping to be able to make their fortune, you know, before He showed up. But this is the evil day. That is the day where, you know, trouble comes. Well, I think that's every day in this world, isn't it? You wake up, and the enemy's always got a good plan to thwart the kingdom of heaven. But he never wins. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Well, it sounds to me like you're going to. Amen? You take unto you the whole armor of God, you will be able to withstand. That you may be able. So what that tells me is that armor of God is sufficient to cause you to be able to stand in the evil day. Oh, that's just too much. I'm never gonna make it. Don't say that. Don't say that. You know, you speak to yourself and you can talk yourself into anything or talk yourself out of anything. Isn't that true? No, I'm gonna be able to finish this. Now granted, if you're mowing that big lawn, you'll finish it. You might just finish it tomorrow. You ever been mowing that lawn and you felt like you should probably stop and get a glass of water? I'd recommend you do it. I'd recommend maybe you do it tomorrow. But you're going to be able to withstand. Part of being able to withstand is knowing when to stop today. I didn't intend this in this message, but here it is. Sometimes being able to withstand is to stop and quit doing things in your own flesh. Hang up that phone. Stop yelling. Stop pushing. Begin to worship God. Amen. Begin to worship God. Let go of that thing that you're trying to make happen. What's due today? Stop and pray. Say, God, what do I do? What do I do? And let the living God make another phone call. Find somebody who loves Jesus who's going to help you with that. All right? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all, the rest of the thing says, and having done all, I have done it all. Having done all to, in fact, my words, stand. So whether you had to stop, you have now stood. Whether you had to stop doing pushing and whatever you having to do, you have stood because you trusted God. Maybe you didn't even get it done, but you have stood worshiping God, stood thanking God. the end of your pursuit that day, you want to end with praising the Lord. Not end with desperation and having felt like you failed today. Amen? Do you understand? Is always end the day rejoicing. Always make an escape route to rejoice, to give praise to God at the end of the day, no matter what the circumstance might have been. Maybe you didn't get that full thing completed. Rejoice and give praise to God. I know how I've been, you know. Oh, I'm just one of these. One of my bosses used to say, you're just loath to leave anything in the middle. In other words, I would just keep pushing, keep going. I'd be late for five other things, just finishing that one thing. Anybody ever done like that? You know, maybe that's not the best course of action, is to be late for something else just because you've got to finish whatever it is you've got your hand on. That's me. I'll do that, you know, because I've got this something on the inside that says you've got to finish that first. Now, I understand you don't want to forget where you were. Well, put a mark on your paper. Whatever you've got to do. But don't let the enemy come and destroy your joy. Because then you're going to just be, then you're made mad at your wife, your kids, your employees, your employer. You know? Some of the things you allow are the things that get you the most irritated. You're irritated at yourself, but then you blow up it at somebody else. I'm just talking about me. I don't know about y'all. I'm just talking about me. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. Oh, before we go on to there, I'll read you one more scripture on our wrestling. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Although we live our days walking in this body, in this mind, in this world we have, we do not war. Our warfare is not like other people. That's what I'm saying. You don't finish off people. Our warfare is not in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So every time you have something that you're trying to work out and to accomplish and to prevent, your thoughts could be of this world as to how to complete it, or to how to get the job done, or to have to stop someone else from winning, or stop somebody else from doing evil. But is it God? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus. You had a great idea. I'll just kill him. I'll just kill that guy. Bringing every thought into the obedience to Jesus. Jesus said, no, don't kill him. Oh, Jesus, that was the good idea. That was the best idea I'd had on that. Could we do it today and try it my way? No, we're not going to try it your way. I'd like to win that guy to Jesus. No. He'll never turn. Next thing you know, that guy, you want him to Jesus. So you're taking every thought captive. Because you got stupid thoughts, don't you? Anybody ever have a stupid thought? A thought that was not of God. Taking everything. Casting down imaginations, imaginings. I think I'll just do this. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. All right, so we've taken that. So we're going to stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That's a very interesting scripture there. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what you're doing is you're making your mind, changing your mind. Over in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, says, be ye transformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you have an idea that how you're going to accomplish things in this world, but God says, no, I want to, conform to the world, but God said, I want to transform you. By what? Renewing your mind. Over here in this scripture in 1 Peter, it says, girding up the loins of your mind. That sounds like a funny thing. Your mind does your mind have loins? But he says, and then over in Ephesians 6 there, in the armor, it says, having your loins girt about with truth. Well, the loins of your mind, changing your mind and truth. Let your mind be changed from lies to truth. So gird up your loins with truth. That is the Word of God, the truth, the gospel of Jesus. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Where's the breastplate fit? Right here over your heart. Right here in front. So you're facing the enemy. You're not running. You're not turned around from facing the enemy. You're actually facing the enemy. You know? Actually, I think in this armor, there's nothing on the back. You know? Because the Roman armor was, go forward. Always go forward. Don't turn around. You're always going forward. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, Isaiah 59, verse 16 says, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Verse 17, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate. This is in Isaiah. So this armor, this breastplate of righteousness, Isaiah talked about it. For he put on righteousness, this is Jesus. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation. Isaiah 59:17. You can write that down. Isaiah 59:17. So he put on a breastplate as a righteousness, or righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation was upon his head. We're going to read that. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, like the armor, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. So he said, stand therefore, Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What's the breastplate of righteousness? That's righteousness that is given to you that you put on. You put on Christ. I'm putting him on. How do you put him on? By faith. You put on Jesus by faith. Every morning you put him on. You put on Jesus. You put on that finished product. And verse 15 says, and your feet covered, shod, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Isaiah 52 verse 7 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace. This is the gospel of peace. That bring good tidings, that publish good salvation, that say unto Zion that God reigns. That's who we're saying. Is that how beautiful on the feet of them who bring good news? That's you. So when you're coming amongst your folks, and you have on the breastplate of righteousness, you have on the helmet of salvation, you have on the shoes of the gospel of peace, that because everywhere you go, you bring peace. Everywhere you go, you bring peace. You're a peace bringer. You're a peacemaker. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Verse 17, Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So every day when you're going out and about, You're taking the Word of God. The Word of God with which your loins are girt. You're girded up with truth. The thing about truth is that it never changes. And you're walking in truth no matter what anybody else says. Is that the God of heaven made heaven and earth. That Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, was crucified, was raised again from the dead, and took all of your sins upon Himself. And now you are going to live with Him for eternity as you put faith in His name and faith in His sacrifice. That's the truth. The truth is that every man, woman, child needs to receive the truth of Jesus Christ, the good news, that the gospel is your salvation to live past this world. And whatever opportunity you have to share that truth by walking in peace with your neighbor, by walking in joy with the people around you, without holding them in unforgiveness, but forgiving everybody, you are a joyous, happy, excited child of God living in this world to declare the good news of Jesus. Now, do things crop up in your life that cause you to momentarily, like I said at the beginning, hit that brake and your adrenaline's pumping? Yeah. But the truth overtakes those immediate moments of distress. Amen. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. Amen? We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're other things. We're cast down, but never destroyed. All of these things happen in our life. All of these things happen in our daily existence, but we don't take them to heart. We say, no, God's already taken care of me. I'm walking with Him. His joy in me is full. And I have peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory living on the inside of me. And when those things come up, we say, no, in Jesus' name, I'm a joyous, peaceful person. These things don't... Paul said, all of these things have been coming upon me, and perils in the sea, perils everywhere, you know, I was twice stoned, kicked out of the city, you know, had to get raised from the dead almost. But none of these things moves me. None of these things. Did you know none of these things moves you? Because you have on the armor of God. And the armor of God is effectual, isn't it?
Well, I put the armor on, didn't seem to do any good for me.
No. You put it on. You had to read what the Word says about it. You had to read here. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, stand therefore with all of these things in place. Ephesians 6:16, or 18. Praying always. Praying always. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, pray without ceasing. Over in Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Oh, God! No. Say, with thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh, Lord, thank you that you're so good. Put in your prayer how you're so thankful that God's always meeting your need. Not, well, you didn't meet my need last night. Maybe you'll do something better today. No, God always meets my needs. I'm never disappointed. Either I'm a liar. Am I a liar? No, I believe the Word of God. I don't believe my feelings. I believe God said He supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So He says, be anxious for nothing, But in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen. Well, we should finish up that part that says, and whatsoever things are good, honest, blessing, and holy, and just, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Whatever's happening that's a blessing, bring those things to mind. God's doing great things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things you think on. Don't think on junk. Don't think on your disappointments. Don't think upon your mistakes, your losses. He says, think on good things, the things that God has done. Keeping yourself joyful, keeping yourself peaceful, keeping yourself in the joy of the Lord. Amen. Verse 6, chapter 6, verse 19, and then we'll finish. You can finish up the rest. The rest of it is Paul finishing up the chapter. Verse 19 says, and pray for us, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth to make known the mystery of the gospel. So praying for all the saints. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, verse 18, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. That can mean praying in other tongues. We can talk about that later. But praying from the heart, from your spirit. Jude says, pray in the Spirit. You're building up yourself by your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Over in Romans 8:26, it says, the Spirit helps our infirmities. When we know not what to pray for as we ought, He intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered in intelligible speech. The Holy Spirit prays on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. The living God lives on the inside of you to pray. And watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Don't give up. He said, pray without ceasing. Don't give up. And supplication, prayer for the saints and for me. Paul says, that utterance may be given to me, all the ministers of the gospel, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Father, we just rejoice and thank you today. Thank you for the power of God living on the inside of us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank you that our minds are girded up with truth, and that we're putting on the whole armor of God, that we may be able, that we are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Father, we thank you that that's a promise. So we love you and we give you praise. Lord God, thank you that as we put on the armor of God, put on the helmet of salvation, gird up our loins with truth. That's the very first one, is your loins, your part that reproduces the gospel. Right around your hips and your loins, that's where your strength is, where you hold yourself strong and steady against the enemy. It's your standing with your strong strength in your hips, steadying yourself against the enemy, who's a liar, with truth. And you're taking the truth unto yourself. So Father, we thank you for that right now, that you may be able to stand. And having done all, to stand. I'm standing whether it seems like I'm standing or not, whether it feels like I'm standing or not, I can never be defeated and I can never be destroyed because the living God is reigning in me and causing me to stand. Even when the devil says, you're not standing, I'm standing. So Father, we just worship You and we give You praise. And we thank You that this is that final chapter in this book to the Ephesians as to how to stand against the enemy, against this world, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness, wickedness in high places. And we are victorious. So Father, we thank You for giving us joy and peace as we depart this place today and walk in the presence of the living God. We thank You for causing us to be witnesses, that our shoes are prepared with the gospel of peace, and that we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the shield of faith, wherewith we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, wherein we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Thank You for these promises. We give You glory and praise in Jesus' name. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And may lift up His countenance upon you, His loving, favorable, happy, joy-filled countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 Well, I hope you're happy.